All right, if you'll turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, I would appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Or if you don't have a Bible, it'll be in the notes. And there's a demon got into my note. That demon's name was Steve Tupper. That's the reason he's up in the balcony. So the verses, the first one is in the center. I don't know why. I actually changed that three times and it still went back to the center. So I don't know how that happened. Let's all stand, please. Everybody got notes? Clayton, you got notes back there, friend? All right. We're going to read all the verses. Colossians 4:14. I'm going to speak tonight on Demas. By the way, this will not be a negative message tonight or a positive one. It will be a factual one. You know the difference? I'm not going to pump you up. I'm not going to do anything weird. It's just we're going to look at the three references to one of the minor characters in the Bible named Demas. You say, why? Everyone look at me. Do you know why? Because you will experience Demas in your life. I don't want anybody in this room to be a Demas, but I pastored a long time and I've met a lot of Demases. I'll start the service off tonight with one of those very something. By the way, in this room, the only person that knows my feelings about this guy, I'm going to say, is not in this room. Sharon Basilevich knew. Colossians 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and I will speak on Luke as another minor character with major impact down the road. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Sometimes the King James will say salute you. It's the same word in Greek. So you have two people together in the book of Colossians, and Paul at the end says he's greeting the church. These two men are greeting the church. Philemon 23 and 24. Now, if you read in your Bibles, Philemon is far separated from Colossians, yes? But remember, these books were going to the same church, to the same group of people. You cannot read Colossians without reading Philemon. They're connected. They're going at the same time to the same place. I skipped the first verse. 23. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoners in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And Lucas, I'm assuming, is Luke. That's probably the same. It's the same in Greek. So that is the man we know of as Luke, and Paul calls them fellow laborers. The third in only three references to Demas. Demas is the name, by the way, Demetrius in Greek. That would probably be the whole name. 2 Timothy 4:9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, talking to Timothy. Why? That's the first word. Why? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, for the life of me, I don't understand the next two statements. Is Paul simply saying Crescens is in Galatia, Titus is in Dalmatia, which is modern-day Illyrian Peninsula? What else do we call that? Dalmatian Peninsula, what's that called? Where Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, that area is he simply saying these two men also are just in different places? Or is he implying they also have departed? I don't know the answer to that. But he mentions them. And then in verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. We're going to look at Demas, a co-worker lost. Let's pray. Father, I ask your help. Tonight is just one of those, we just need to look at this just right smack dab in the eye. Because this is something that we will experience. And we might see it with people in this room or people we love. It is the painful thing. Someone, however we explain it, that just gets lost. Help me, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Normally, I know where people sit in an audience. Normally, if you tell me a visitor was here, I picture where they're seated. I do not know. I do know his first Sunday. Cliff, you never met him. Judy, you never met him. Actually, in this room, almost nobody met him. These folks would have known him. These folks, very few people would remember him. He came on a Sunday morning, three people, two guys and a woman. Now, I'm not stupid. I recognize the kind of person. He had tattoos from the tip of his fingers up and look at me. And they were specifically gang tattoos. They were not cute little things or weird things to be cool to fit in. They were gang tattoos. I don't remember where they were seated. I just remember there was a lady, there was a man, and then there was this guy. We were pleasant. We greeted them. Everybody talked to them. At the end of the service, I went up and talked to them, and this was my exact impression. We'll never see them again. But maybe the lady will come back. The lady seemed to be very interested. Okay. Actually, the lady had brought the one guy here. I'm not going to say his name today. I'm going to call him Bill. That's not his name. Well, the next Sunday morning happens. I look, by the way, they didn't sell our visitor's card. Sunday morning happens. I look. There's Bill. There's a woman with Bill. By the way, just so you know, the woman that I thought would come back never came back. The other guy, I don't even remember him. But Bill came back. Well, greeted him, talked to him a little bit, preached, you know, normal service. About 3 or 4 weeks into this, I preached a sermon. And at the end of the service, he sought somebody out. He specifically sought out, oh my goodness, what's their names? The husband taught fifth or sixth grade, probably sixth grade. Who? Feasters, thank you. Mike Feaster talked to him. Bill then told me that week, because I visited Bill, he said, I came to church that morning with a fifth of whiskey at home and a porn tape. And all I was thinking of when I came to church was my porn and my whiskey. The guy got saved. It was a beautiful time. But it was way past that with me. I had opportunity for whatever reason. He and I got along. I mean, I'm not exactly a gang member from Chicago. And by the way, when I said gang member, he was a Chicago gang member. He says there are no gangs up here that are serious. He calls them shorties. I don't know what that means because that's not in my world. Many times, how many times did I go out to eat with him? How many times did I can remember getting sub sandwiches, going over to his house. We'd talk about the Bible. We'd talk about discipleship. We talked about a thousand things. The guy seemed to move forward. Everything was good. And then it happened. He came to me and said, Pastor Warren, I have a court case. Now, I'm going to ask everybody a question. How many times do you think I have been at court? Regularly? I've been at court exactly two times. One time for Bill and one time for somebody else 20, 25 years before. I had no idea what court was. He says, I have many warrants out on me. They're going to put me in prison. He said, will you come with me? So I said, well, yeah, I can come with you. I went with him. I still remember, folks, where they wouldn't let me in the actual place where the judge, and I don't know why, but they wouldn't let me in there. I sat out here, and Bill came. I'm going to call his name because it's going to slip out of me. Bill came to me, and he said, would you keep these things here and give them to his wife or girlfriend? He pulls out a wallet, a little bit of money, a couple little things in his New Testament. Hands them to me. 30 minutes, hour later, he walks out of the court. Have you experienced this? He walks out of the court. Some of you might remember this. The judge dropped everything. I mean, a miracle because he had real warrants and real crimes and he was going to prison. I'm thinking, I remember rejoicing with Bill. Man, we were happy. We were excited. Well, he came here and worked a little bit and did a very good job at first. And you say, what happened? And the answer is, I do not know. All I know is that, oh, by the way, I got one more thing. You know all those tattoos? By the way, not your tattoos that kids get to be cool. He was not a follower. He was a gang member. There was a year process to get out of the Chicago gang. He had to go and get all of his tattoos burnt off, which he told me is the most painful thing he'd ever had. He's having these things burn off of his hands, his arms, his wrists. He got totally out of the gang. And look at me. And I say this, he just disappeared. I have dealt with thousands of people in my time at Lake County. Now look at me, don't get mad at me. Many people are like water through my hands. I would have preferred to help them. I would have preferred them to be part of us, but they were here one time, two times, and it was just water. This is a person I invested in. This is a person that was doing things. This is a person that I saw God do some amazing things, and he just disappeared. He was gone. Well, Demas is one of those guys. Demas, a co-worker, lost. Are you trying to be negative, Pastor Warren? By the way, can I say this to you? There are people that will show up here one Sunday that don't hurt my, I have no emotional connection to them, correct? Now, before you go any further, most of you don't understand me at all. I am the opposite of that. In St. Louis for 8 years, if a person visited one time, I was emotionally connected to the point it almost destroyed me. Now I realize I got to keep some distance between somebody visiting and being part of us. If somebody visits one time, it is like water through my hands. I would like for them to help. I'd like to help them, be part of them, that. But somebody that I have invested in that has come back and we've talked and prayed together and read the scripture together and gone through books together and done discipleship together, and he just disappeared. By the way, that was the year 2000, 2001, 2002. 20 plus years later, it can bother me every day if I let my mind go there. Number one in your notes, we're just going to talk about Demas, a co-worker. Number one, Demas was a co-worker. Just real simple. Philemon says this, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then he lists some other people, but he calls them fellow workers. All of these are fellow workers. I'll touch on that in a moment. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And by the way, that's all plural, both the article and the noun. Synergo is plural, the hoi is plural. So he's saying all of these men were my fellow workers, and one of them was somebody by the name of Demas. Friend, the work of the ministry. I don't know about the ladies. I was not in the ladies' Sunday school. I don't know the women preachers. One of them is sitting back here, and my daughter does some preaching, and I think Nicole did some. I'm joking. The ladies teaching the ladies. Dave Haas has done a phenomenal job in Sunday school, talking about things that, frankly, most of you don't want to talk about, even to other men. He did it. Do you know that ministry is pretty routine? In your notes. This is for everybody in this room that thinks ministry is about being cool. Ministry, first of all, in Ralph Warren's perspective, is number one, work. And most people don't like to work, so guess what? They don't like ministry, because ministry is work. It just takes work to be around people, and sometimes, well, you can go left to right. Off to the right, it also is this. It's not only work, it is work, obviously, but it's more than work, it's also conflict. The moment you start talking to people, you have conflict. Folks, when I look out here on a crowd, do you know I have to find people that are going to, do you know how to preach and speak to people? Some pastors speak to people like this. But I can't look at a person that I know is not with me and not interested in being with me. I have to find those faces that I think I'm not going to have conflict with. Do you not know this, Tim? You know this. Now, if you're preaching to a big enough crowd, you can just pick out a few people smiling and you're good. Unless you're the kind of guy, and I've met them, they don't even know if people are there. I know every person that's here every service because I'm looking. Can I say this? Ministry's conflict. I talked to a friend of mine. I'll tell you the friend's name. David Hufstetler. Our missionary is Dan Hufstetler to, where's he at? Uganda, yes. Been there, you know, Kenya and Uganda now for a long 20-plus years. His younger brother, David Hufstetler, was the pastor of First Baptist of Rockford. Recently, Tim, you know this, after being there, I think, 11 years, he was called to a church in Michigan that his wife grew up at, big church with a Christian school. He asked me for my advice. This is my advice. I said, brother, you know the problems you have in your church in a year? You will have more problems in a week at that church than you have in a year at Rockford. You know his response to me? Did he believe me? Well, he did. When I called him after being there a month, he says, you know, Ralph, you know what you told me? I walked right into a situation. We have two marriages falling apart, and these are people my wife's known her whole life. And I said, welcome to church. By the way, ministry is about work. It's about conflict. Next, S. Yes, it's about success. It's always beautiful to see success. I think we have some great success stories. We have some people here that, not that they're perfect, but not only here tonight, but in our church that I'm exceptionally happy with, that have worked through problems and they're having success. It's also about emotions. And can I say this? Emotions can just drain you and kill you and eat your lunch. It is also about, under the very bottom left there, is difficulties. And then the worst part of all, the ministry is always about failures. I say in your notes, usually with outsiders, meaning people you meet one time, you know, you don't really hook up with them, you don't connect with them, it doesn't work. So it's a failure, but you don't really get killed. I say it's usually with outsiders, but the worst are always what? Insiders, always. That's what kills you. Can I say this? Look at me. I pastored 8 years in St. Louis. Did you know that? On the average week at Lake County, I have more conflict than I had in the whole 8 years there. Wait till you have, my daughter knows. We talked about it last graduation. A woman walked in calling her every name you can imagine, starting with F words. And we're at graduation. We're trying to put on a graduation for kids. And you're out, and by the way, look at me, all of the little games you're playing. It's real easy to be sitting over in the corner doing all of the little dumb stuff that some Christians do, pointing out that, oh, Pastor Warren is stupid, Amy's stupid. Well, God bless your little pinhead, then put yourself in. She had problems with two people the night or the day of graduation. But failure's the worst. Not failure for people that you meet for 2 weeks. There was a couple came here. I could mention their name, but I will not. I will say this. They came here. Maybe they visited the church. It was so long ago that none of you would remember them. They came here, this would have been late 90s, I think. They came here and they had been in a church like ours. They were in the military. With another family in this church at the time. And then they both did this, different duty stations, and then they came back here. But when they came back here, the middle duty station, they had decided to go rock and roll, beer drinking, you know, good kind of churches like you have on every street corner. Can I say this? I just discovered their children's websites. It didn't work real well for those families. I could mention names. By the way, he was an officer.
By the way, not a private, not a seaman recruit, a senior officer. He wanted to go to a rock and roll church. Well, God bless you, where you can drink your beer and be cool and fit in. But by the way, what about your kids? Yes, failure. Well, we move on. Number two. All of this, folks, is just obvious stuff. Demas was a co-worker of or with many good people. You have to understand, he worked with a pretty good group. In Philemon 23, it talks about Epaphras. He would have known Epaphras. He was a fellow worker, specifically in the text, a fellow worker of Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, all of these, and Paul. They're all working together. Lucas there, I'm assuming, is Luke. Marcus is probably Mark. I mean, that's a pretty good group of people. Yes or no? That's who he was. So he was a co-worker of Paul, and he was a co-worker with many good people. Colossians talks about Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And say to Archippus, remember, these are the same, written to the same church, very differently, though. He says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Number three, Demas was a co-worker in good standing. When you read Philemon and you read Colossians, as far as you can tell, he is doing great. Everything is good. Paul loves him. He's fitting in. He's part of the team. Everything is going forward. Number four, now it gets more difficult. Demas was a co-worker during difficult times. Everyone look at me. What do I mean by that? All right. Do me a favor. Raise your hand. Where was Paul at when these letters were written? Where was he located? In prison. Now I got a trick question for you. When Demas forsook Paul, where was Paul at? What? I can't hear you. Different time. He's in his final stage of prison. Do you know that? By the way, remember, at my first answer, no man stood with me. We'll come to that later. By the way, folks, Demas was with Paul serving in some capacity while he was in prison for those 2 years at the end of the book of Acts. He was in Rome. Now, we'll get to that a little bit later, but this is difficult times. The books that are called prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, both mention this clearly. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Chapter 4, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 20, an ambassador in bonds. By the way, in chains. Colossians 4 says, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. 4:18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. I mean, these are tough times. Philemon starts his book by saying, Paul says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Later, he says again in verse 9, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So we have looked at three simple things. He's a co-worker of Paul. He has a lot of good fellow co-workers that he's working with. Mark, Luke, Aristarchus. I mean, these are pretty good guys. Epaphras, you know, these are pretty good guys. He is a co-worker in good standing, but it's during difficult times. Jim, I believe you have been to one of the most out-of-the-way missions. I'm pretty sure you guys, when you were younger and dumber, you took a trip up the Orinoco River in Venezuela. Does anybody know anything about Orinoco? By the way, do you know what's in the Orinoco River? Caimans and other little fish that like to eat you. By the way, a lady that spent her entire life, graduated from Bob Jones University. She then taught school for a year or two. She then joined Baptist Mid-Missions. She then went to Venezuela thinking she was just going to help there with the ministry, but they needed somebody up in this. Is it a nice place? Would you want to live there, Jim? I mean, you take a boat up the river. It's primitive, correct? Do you have electricity all the time or part of the time? What about air conditioning? Didn't need air conditioning. It was only 98. Is it up in the highlands? Okay. But a very, very depressed area, correct? You know, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about people have nothing. Can I say this? Marilyn spent her entire life there. She wants to go back. She can't go to Venezuela. You say, why am I bringing this up? When I was in Venezuela with Marilyn, the missionary said she lives, look at me in the eyes, her food, beans, tuna fish, not even rice, because rice, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have a way of keeping it. It spoiled up there. By the way, friends, it's difficult. Ministry is difficult. And this was a very difficult time. All right, we'll move on. I really want to spend the rest of the night just walking through this. Demas, a co-worker, got lost. Even though, from all we can tell, he worked with Paul and he worked with other good people and he was in good standing, he served during a difficult time. And some reason, the second go-around, something happened. It says in the text, do thy diligence, Timothy, to come unto me, shortly unto me. Why? For, he's explaining why he wants you to get there. Demas hath forsaken me. Having love, by the way, agapao, that's that agape word, the verb form. This present world, this present age, the age of right now, and is departed unto Thessalonica. I don't know what to make of the next two. Were these men also departing, or were they just in a different location? We don't have enough information. Crescens went to Galatia, Titus into Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He was a co-worker that got lost. Now, the whole reason I'm teaching this whole thing is for us to grab a couple things. I don't want you to be anxious. There are people that will immediately ask, can I lose my salvation? My answer is going to be to you. Everyone look at me. Can you lose your salvation? 100% yes, if it's yours. If the Lord has saved you, no. Our problem is you're thinking about yourself. Every passage in the Bible that talks about eternal security focuses on God and Christ, doesn't focus on you. You're not holding on hoping you make it. But this can cause us to have some struggles. By the way, it's not a wrong or a bad question to ask, and it's not wrong to consider it, but I want to state some facts. I'm not going to get into some details. I'm going to allow you to think, because this is about you, not just me. People do go astray, or if you prefer, people do go by the wayside. Is that a factual statement? By the way, I don't care what a church teaches. Now, we believe in eternal security, though I do not believe in eternal security like some of the nonsense I've heard. I believe if God saves you, he saves you forever. And by the way, and I just say this to you, try going your own way. If you try to go your own way, you're going to run into God's chain, and that chain is real short, and he'll be dragging you back. You know the three C's, conviction, chastisement, and if that doesn't work, the coffin. By the way, God doesn't let his people just do whatever they want to do. I compared it many years ago to this. It's a simple thing. And my daughter and son-in-law have to do this regularly because we got two crazy boys. If your children are out in the yard playing, that's good. What if they decide to walk into the street? See, many people think, oh, it's the child's. No. It's the parent's responsibility. The parent said, hey, Jesse, Evan, get them back. Now, of course, since my grandsons are not yet sanctified, they might do it again. About the third time, they're going to get a little chastisement. You say, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. I know what would have been in my world. You're going to get a nice swat on the backside and a little conversation. By the way, about the fifth time you have to give them a swat on the backside, you say, all right, I can't trust you to stay out here. You won't listen to me. You won't obey. So we're taking you in the house. Can I say this to you? I can show you this all through the Bible. If you're a believer, you're not going to do your own thing for very long. You're going to start feeling chastisement, conviction before, then chastisement, and eventually the coffin. All right. But do we all agree that some people do go astray? Everybody agrees with that. Secondly, some don't come back, or some
never come back. We have to deal with that too. Is that true also? Now, I know I have read people trying to defend poor Demas. You know, I don't try to defend, because I don't know enough about the story. All I know is Paul's at a critical juncture, and something about Demas was in love with this present age, and he took off. He deserted Paul. I want to say these three again. People do go astray, or they do fall by the wayside. Some do not come back, and some never come back. Thirdly, we know, and this is what I know, it's different than other people, we know God keeps us forever. God does. So if you're a believer and you wander off, it's possible to wander off and be stupid for a while. I'm going to say this, not for 50 years. Look at me. None of this nonsense that they prayed a prayer when they were 8, they're now 80. We know there's... I dare you to show me any passage in the Bible that teaches that. I think you're living in fantasy land. You're telling me that you can be saved and God's not interested. I don't think those exist. God will do things necessary to get you back. Our security is in the Lord. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul says, for the which cause also I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that I am able. No, is it I? He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. One of my favorite Old Testament texts, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, it assumes that we're going to be stupid occasionally, he shall not utterly be cast down. You're not going to go away forever. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, I have a confidence. My confidence is not in you. My confidence is in God, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, which began a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, are you going to answer the question, is the person lost? Everyone look at me. The guy that supposedly got saved here in 1999 or 2000, was he saved or lost? And I'm going to tell you, I do not know, but I do know this. It has been 25 years. You cannot wander off for 25 years. Show me in the Bible any place where people live like that. God is going to bring you back one way or another, or he's going to take you home. Can I say this? Are you guys ready? I'm not going to mention names, and I doubt if anybody will remember them. Many years ago, we took on 2 missionaries to Russia the same time. One came, and they were going as a team, and we took both families on. Now, neither one are in Russia. You can't be in Russia and be an American missionary today. The one family is still serving the Lord. Does anybody know where the other family is? The husband is dead. Did you hear me? Dead. By the way, you can only straighten up. You wouldn't know them. Too far ago. By the way, you know why he's dead? Because he decided to do his own. You cannot, if you're a believer. God won't. He just doesn't let go of you like that. So I'm going to tell you how you know somebody's a believer. They're under conviction. Number 2, they start getting chastisement. Pain. By the way, pain is a great corrector. Doesn't even have to be physical all the time. Next in your notes, God also warns us. And they are real warnings. The thing that scares me is some of us think this would never happen to me. Oh my goodness. Dada, I'm going to speak to you because you know I love you and you know I'm not playing a game. There are people that I would have cut my hand off not believing they would ever depart. People I love to this day. And they decide to leave this church on a whim and move to hell itself and have not been in church in years. Please tell me what that's about. I'm sorry.
I don't think you can just kind of wander off. By the way, some of you still haven't figured out who I'm talking about. By the way, they were with the Fruins. Mm-hmm. And God took the husband home in a motorcycle wreck that quick. He played a game. By the way, you say, does that scare you?
Well, if it doesn't scare you, you're not the same kind of person I am, because I believe that God keeps us. He never lets us go. We're loved with an everlasting love, which can be scary. He also warns us, Proverbs 11, verse 2. And by the way, I have some of this, do you? When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. By the way, that's kind of interesting. You know what keeps you safe? Not thinking you're all that. The moment you, by the way, do you have pride, Pastor Warren? You better know, all of us do. Can I say this? The biggest problem you have and the you you're looking at has is pride. 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. One of the requirements of a pastor, he's not a novice. Mean in Greek, that means someone newly planted. Otherwise, a recent convert. Never, ever, ever. Why? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. This is, to me, the simplest text on the Christian life. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth what? You read it? What? Until the perfect day. By the way, folks, what is your life like? Not perfection, but over 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. By the way, and if I don't see it, I consider you an unsaved person. Just so you know, if I do not consider some kind of broad growth over 5 or 10 years, you're not a believer. If you're still where you were 20 years ago, what are you? What kind of what? There's a gradual path. It's not perfection. It's not arrogance. You're moving up. That's the way God's people do. God is teaching us, changing us from preaching, teaching, books, interaction with Christians. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more, not less and less, unto the perfect day. Ah, but look at the next verse. The way of the wicked, it is not so. They know not at what they stumble. Next. So God warns us. I hope you take the warning seriously. I say, and I'm not going to get into this at all tonight, going away has many roots and one fruit. I have no idea why some people go away. I do not. Demas loved the present world. This present, in Greek, it's the present age. It's not the cosmos, the arrangement of things, though that word is used in 1 John 2. Love not the world, different word, not for age, but for the arrangement. But they're the basic same thing. Demas was in love with the spirit of the age. The zeitgeist, if you want to know the German word. He was in love with it. Let's go down to 2 Timothy 3:12. And we will just about be done. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I say in your notes, and we'll conclude with this. This is the second and final go-around or imprisonment for Paul. He was 2 years in Rome in prison. 2 years in Rome in prison. We all know that. That's Acts chapter 28. He was released, though this is not mentioned in the Bible. It's a logical deduction and from some little pieces of church history. He was released. We don't know how long, for a while. And during that period of time, Paul traveled. Now, who was the Caesar that Paul was serving during? His, by the way, a very sane, good, godly Caesar. Nero, by the way, insane, not the worst. That would have probably, in the first century, the worst was, of course, Caligula, 37 to 41. But he's serving under Nero. Nero was, just a few years later, Nero is going to start some fires in Rome, yes? And he is going to blame Christians in Rome. And he's going to take Christians, put them on stakes, light them on fire to light up the night. By the way, he's a real nice fella. Well, This is Paul's second and final go around. 2 years in Rome in prison. He was released for a while. At least you can deduce that. Most people think he probably got all the way to Spain. And he traveled and did what, you know, did Paul's ministry. Somewhere along the line, we don't know why or how he was rearrested. We're not sure the exact year. Most people think 63, 64. It was before things really got bad for Nero. He went crazy. But he was rearrested, and everyone was nervous. You say, why? Read the text. At my first answer, what does it say? Please look at me. Look at me. At my first answer, nobody stood with me. If you have an ego to think you would stand, who's the no one we're talking about? Only Luke is with, well, he wasn't with him at the end. By the way, I don't say he compromised, denied the faith. I'm simply saying this. When Paul was called before either Nero, I doubt Nero, but it might have been, you never know, or Nero's people, it's a life and death thing. And for Paul, it was going to be a death sentence. This is the only point of tonight. Please look at me and we're done. Demas was a fellow worker serving in the ministry, like a pastor, a deacon, etc. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't. What does it mean? What it means is for you. The major impact is to realize people you love, people you work with, and even you yourself. It is possible. Now, what it means is going to be according to how you react to it. Can I say this to you? Have you read church history much? Have you read Christian biographies? Do you know who Christmas Evans is? I could name a half a dozen very good people that went away for a while. We sing a song. We'll sing it tonight. What's the song? Jenny, you're going to have to help me. Tim, you're going to have to help me. One of the famous classic songs, a guy got in a carriage and was singing, humming the song, talking about how he loved the song. And the guy that wrote the song was right here. And the guy that wrote the song had fallen away but came back, because God's people don't leave. You know the song I'm talking about, Jenny. Let's stand. I'll figure it out. Maybe. Not Blessed Assurance. It's an older hymn and a very formal hymn. Oh my goodness. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. What's the song, Jenny? What? What? Tim? Come Thou Fount. Thank you. Let's sing it, the whole thing.